and who we're going to be. And I'll say one more thing about this. We talk a lot about authenticity, right? It's like, mm-hmm. be your authentic self, Court, right? Like, yeah. be your authentic self, Chris. Authentic to who? Like, what self? Because there's a past self, right? There's a current self. And then there's your next level human best self. Who we need to be authentic to is that person. And that person has a very different identity than the Jade sitting in this chair right now, and certainly has a different identity than the Jade from my past.
Hey, Dr. Axe here. If you could discover how to add more healthy years to your life, would you want to know? Of course. That's where Inside Tracker steps in, dedicated to enhancing your health span for a more robust and thriving life. Inside Tracker harnesses the intricate data of your body to formulate personalized strategies that align perfectly with your unique needs. By assessing your blood, DNA, and seamlessly syncing with your fitness device, Inside Tracker gives you a clear roadmap backed by science-backed recommendations on things like nutrition, exercise, supplements, and lifestyle fine-tuning. If you're an Ancient Health podcast listener, Inside Tracker is giving you a 20% discount. All you have to do is go to insidetracker.com/axe20 to take the first stride towards optimizing your well-being. Your future will thank you for it.
Welcome back to the Ancient Health Podcast, where we educate you on real health solutions that will help transform the way you live, feel, and overcome disease naturally. I'm your host, Courtney Bursage, along with Dr. Josh Axe and Dr. Chris Motley. We're so happy you've joined us. Let's dive into today's episode.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is the Ancient Health Podcast. My name is Courtney. I'm here with Dr. Motley, and we're in studio today, and we have an amazing guest with us that I have been looking forward to interview, not for the first time, but the second time. You guys loved him so much when we interviewed him last year. He knows everything about the metabolism. And I gotta be honest, I absolutely love Dr. Jade because he has made things that are so complicated to understand very tangible. Like I've been able to access material that I felt like I could never really fully understand. And to be honest, I don't know of anybody that is more of an expert on the human metabolism, but really specifically to women. And I think that says a lot coming from a man. So I know this interview is going to be amazing, but what's really going to surprise you, I think, is really this, how he has had, you've really journeyed. And not only is the metabolism something you're an expert at, but it's led you into a different area and almost a kind of, not a byproduct, but it's a huge component of health that does have a direct influence on your physiology. And we're going to talk a lot about the psychology behind that and identity. So this is going to be a little bit of a unique conversation. And what's really cool, then I'm going to put this on the floor because I don't want to be hogging up the mic here. But we actually had dinner. We had the opportunity to have dinner with Dr. Jade last night, and right. It was such a treat. And I honestly respected you a lot going into that, not having met you, but having had an interview with you before. But I just honestly, such a different level of human respect and connection, because I really just get to see who you are as a person. You live your life in such an authentic way. And I know that translates in everything that you do. And I'm really proud of you as a friend. So I just want to say that. But guys, welcome. Dr. Motley is here. Dr. Jade, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you both. And I feel like we're family now, because what a night last night we had. It was so nice connecting and just deep conversation. And you know, what's interesting about that, we talk a lot when we talk about metabolism and health. We talk a lot about what we're eating, how we're exercising, what supplements we're taking. And you know, people talk about what we do in the blue zones and why people live so long. To me, last night, I'm struck with the fact that it always does come back to human connection. And that is the thing, to me, that drives all the reasons we do the things we do. And so, yeah, to connect with you two last night was incredibly fun, and you know, talking deep psychology and all of that. But I love it, and I'm happy I'm here. And yeah, looking forward to this conversation.
I think with what we discussed last night, I love when we get to talk with Dr. Jade, because we were saying this last night, that when he takes a complicated situation or something that I have to rewatch, like normally he can make it to where I can understand it. And I'm saying that because when somebody is articulate as you are, I really feel very fortunate that the people out there can hear about how you take metabolism and simplify it down for them to the point where they're not afraid of it. And I think that's why I really like your feed, is because it's like gives hope and there's not this fear of like, I can't lose weight or I can't achieve this goal. And you've shown that, the things that you've said. So truly, I'm glad that we're be able to talk about this. So I always say open up the floor, like what we want to talk, because last night was such a good conversation. Where do we want to start with this? What do you think,
Court? You know what really is, to me, like the humanity component, what you're just talking about is your own story. And, you know, how did Jade get to where he is, the man that I'm sitting next to right now? Because that to me gave me more encouragement last night, and just, and honestly, just your message in general, but that is really what helps me bridge the gap in some of the areas. Because like you said, the external stuff, guys, like we talk about this all the time. They're great. They're tools for you. But the end of the day, it's the heart work. Mm. Like it is the core, yeah, the substance of who you are. If you can't ever get a handle on that, you will just be slapping one thing after another and you'll get through life. But will you ever really experience the life that you were destined for, the life that you were called to? Because there is purpose and there is significance in that. And your story, oh my gosh, like I want you to be able to just share that, because the growth that you've had as a person, I think that's your strength. Like it is the one thing that's so unique about you that is changing lives, because other people see that it's possible.
Yeah. Well, isn't that funny? Because, you know, now I'm going to get embarrassed, because isn't it funny? You always do these interviews and then I'm very shy about telling my story. But I guess to start with all of our stories, right? Like one of the things I think about for my story and then talking with you two and then everyone listening is you really start with suffering. And not to depress everyone right off the bat here.
Let's get that out of the way first.
but seriously, one of the things I oftentimes think about, and to me, is this idea that we humans, like, I know that you two suffer, and I know that everyone listening suffers, and you know that I suffer by virtue of the fact that we are human. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a beautiful thought, right? Because right now we're all dealing with something. We all have a battle that we're fighting. And my story sort of begins with that, this idea of, I don't want you to see my suffering. I want to be the cool person. I want to be the one that has it all figured out. You know, I came from a family. I was the youngest of four. Mm-hmm. My mom, who was an incredibly loving mother, but emotionally unpredictable and emotionally volatile. Mm-hmm. My older brothers picked on me. They would say they were just having fun with me, but I would say I was bullied as a kid. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm bringing up this idea of suffering right away is because it's the way we perceive what happened to us as a kid, mm-hmm, as an adolescent, as a young adult, and even the last bout of suffering that we went through that determines who we can become. And so the story, from my perspective, we usually start with, I want to be this thing, instead of going back and saying, well, what has I suffered and what have those lessons taught me so that I can be X? So let me explain this really quickly, like just see if you guys, my pain, you know, my mother wound, yeah, my brother wound, all of that followed me into my sort of adult life, mm-hmm, and was behind the scenes impacting how I showed up in the world. Later on, it turned into me having an affair. This is why I said it's going to be embarrassing. Me leaving my marriage and me having to figure out, now, who do I want to be? Now, here's the thing. What we normally do is we go, I don't want to tell people that. I don't want to look at this. I want to distract. I want to deny. I want to delude. When in reality, the lessons of those things, who you showed up as that you were not that proud of, mm-hmm, or where you messed up, gives you lessons to be the person that you can be moving forward. So for me, you're so sweet because you said, you know, you just made a comment on the human that I am, that I hope I am. Mm-hmm. And it came from that pain, right? So it came from that suffering of all those mistakes that I made. And we don't want to look at pain. So I guess how I'll wrap this up is to say, we avoid pain, we distract, we deny, we blame, we complain, we whimper, we whine about our pain. Mm-hmm. When reality, pain is the path to purpose. It's actually the puzzle piece that gives us the key to what we will become later. And when we embrace that, I think everything changes. And by the way, it's not separate from metabolism and health and everything else, because when you have that sort of, hey, here's why I'm here on the planet and this is what I'm doing and this is why being healthy and fit and functional is important to that work, yeah, it starts to change. And then it's not just about, you know, do I have six pack abs and, you know, a healthy bank account. It's more like, what am I doing here that at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to be proud of and feel fulfilled by?
Wow. I mean, because with suffering, I remember I heard a quote. It hits me in the heart when we talk about how that testing produces who we can become in our identity. And Mike Tyson, one time, he said something profound, you know, in his voice. He's like, he goes, you know why you get tested? And I was like, why do you get tested? He goes, because, he goes, it gives you a testimony. And I was like, you know, that has some meat bearing to that. Yeah. You get tested and you would never have something to share with somebody. And that's what we were talking about last night. I love that about our identity, about how when we take those hardships and we're able to express them, what you're doing. With that, have you found this metamorphosis, like you've gone through your pain and suffering and you're putting that out there through what you put in social media and your books? How is identity attached to the works, the writings that you are doing right now? Because we had such a good conversation, just like the base, because it was profound. I mean, some of the things we talked about last night, guys, like I wrote some down in my phone and I'm going to share it with you. But can we talk a bit about that identity?
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting about identity. So let's talk about this idea of, so people believe, right, there's something I will do. Right? I can do something that's going to give me an outcome.
Yeah.
But they forget, and this is where goals come from, and this is like all that kind of stuff where it's like, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to work out better. I'm going to change my habits. And what we don't understand is that behind that is something else that has to change first, and that's your identity. Now, when I say change your identity, people will get upset by that in a sense, and just check all the listeners and everyone kind of check, like, wait a second. We have this belief about our identity is this immutable thing that it should not change, right? It needs to be stable. And if I change my identity, then what does that make me, right? And the idea is that honestly, if you're going to change your habits and have them last, you have to change your identity. And what's the identity made of? The identity is made up of stories. So out of the story of my mom being emotionally volatile came a people pleaser. That was the story. I'll just please people. Out of the story of my brother bullying me, I'll be a tough guy. I mean, even look at me. Like I lift weights my whole life, partly because of that story. So I could, you know, rise to that sort of occasion. And so my identity is built on these stories. Now, if I want to change, I have to change the stories that inform my identity that then lead to the habits. And so from my perspective, we have this all wrong because we go, I'm going to do something and then I'll have what I want. And the truth of the matter is, first you have to be something, then you'll start doing the things. That's when you start to have the things. And so I do think we have this reversed. And my identity, by the way, what's the best way to shake up your identity? Right? The only actual way in my way of thinking, the only way we really truly shake up of our identity is through our suffering and discomfort, because that's what makes us question who we are, who we've been, and who we're going to be. And I'll say one more thing about this. We talk a lot about authenticity, right? It's like, be your authentic self, Court, right? Like, be your authentic self, Chris. Authentic to who? Like, what self? Because there's a past self, right? There's a current self, and then there's your next level human best self. Who we need to be authentic to is that person. And that person has a very different identity than the Jade sitting in this chair right now, and certainly has a different identity than the Jade from my past. And if you think about how we operate in culture, most people are thinking, no, you can't change. And they're living from the stories of their past instead of developing an identity for the future. So I'm trying to live into that. That's how my identity informs, sort of who I am. That's how I get to the gym, right? When I really don't want to, like, to be honest, I'm 50 now. I don't like the gym as much as I did, but it still needs to be a part of my identity because the story that I have for my future self is someone who teaches, someone that shows up with vibrancy and vitality and someone who, you know, inspires in a sense. And so to me, I go, well, now it's not about a six pack and being a muscular guy to protect myself from my brother. Now it's about the fact that I want to look good, feel good, function better, live longer because of my future identity, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. What's the difference between some of the cultural kind of expectations on people? Because I think that this can be a trap, somewhat, maybe traps, like, not the right word, but I think a lot of times, and I can identify myself with this, but sometimes, you know, we step into the roles that we feel like are expected of us. And so that becomes the identity because we believe there's a belief system there that that is the natural progression. So how do you get to a place where you're operating from living these new narratives, like not living in a narrative of a story that either you've lived in the past or you believe this is my destiny? Like, I'm supposed to you know, go to school, I get educated, then I find a life partner, then I have a family. And these are the roles. And we just basically start to walk in a direction in life where we're showing up for the responsibilities, for the things that we feel like are expected of us. Because I love this concept of next level human and really this evolution of how we really grow, like true growth, yeah. Stepping out of our comfort zone and doing things that we're fully capable of doing. But a lot of times we just don't feel equipped. We don't feel like that's something that we're capable of. Yeah. So there's a lot of limiting beliefs there. But I think that there is that you break this down really well. So I'm asking mm-hmm. that kind of these cultural expectations, base culture, and can you break that up for us and kind of describe? Because mm-hmm. I think it offers a different level of perspective that I think is going to help someone.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't really talk about it enough in the health and fitness space, right? Like not everyone is up on the way we humans develop. You know, so to me, we have our base level selves that have safety and security needs. And our base level selves, like just think about base level. We know fight, flight, freeze, fawn, right? Like those base level responses. So when we are arrested in our development, if we don't feel safe and secure in the world, we will act out fight, flight, freeze, fawn. We know a lot of people like that. So, and that's, by the way, that's our child self. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that visual because they think, well, children are so young and innocent. But think about a child. They are narcissistic by definition, right? They don't know that, for example, Courtney, you have kids. So they don't know when your kids were little, they didn't know that you weren't an extension of them. To them, the whole world revolved around them. It had to, right? So they have to slowly but surely start to see themselves separate from everyone else. So the base level self, when we get stuck in that child safety, security, fight, flight, freeze response, we're operating as a base level human. Now,
That's great.
Now, when we move into our adolescent self, now it's about acceptance and belonging. And now it's about, I'm going to distract myself from my true self because Courtney and Chris might want me to be something different. I'm going to deny my true dreams because culture says that it's not something, right? I'm going to delude myself. And this is how we act: deny, distract, delude, and even divide. You'll see this in you know, politics and nutrition camps and all of this kind of stuff is a very adolescent team-based approach. And so we have to be self-aware, right? First, we go, how am I acting base level? Where am I acting culture level? And I'll say something here that Chris and Court know. I use a term called PMK, which is abrasive and offensive, so forgive me, but it's called prom marriage kids. And it's not to say there's anything wrong with prom marriage and kids, right? It's just the fact that culturally speaking, when we're operating from that adolescent culture level self, what we do is we just go, well, it's prom marriage kids, which if you really choose that from an authentic place, it's wonderful. But if you don't choose that from an authentic place and you don't have to, then maybe not so much. And so we have to question the underlying narratives. What are the narratives of my base level self? What are the narratives of my adolescent self? And then the adult, mature, grown self. This is the one that wants to collaborate and connect, right? Mm-hmm. And create, right? Yeah. And communicate. And so what you have to do is be self-aware and catch those base level behaviors, those culture level behaviors, and then say, no, I'm going to step forward into this other way of being. And we know when we're fight, flight, freeze. We know when we're distract, deny, delude, divide. We also know when we're connecting, communicating, collaborating, creating. Mm-hmm. Like last night, one of the reasons why the three of us felt so alive and in our purpose is because we were in our next level human state. Now, the final thing I'll say here is that we're all three all of the time, right? Your base level self does have some benefit. It's the protective self. It's the part that comes out, right? When you're just like, hey, you're not going to treat me that way. It's the part that allows you to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. The culture level self is partly what allows you for the cultural norms so that we can connect and have the niceties that get us to the deep conversations. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to completely avoid those identities. But what we want to do is use them appropriately in service of our next level human self. And so to me, that's ultimately what we're all aspiring to. That's why the listeners listen to this podcast. That's why you all do this podcast, right? It's why I do the work that I do, because we're all wanting to matter and make a difference. And we want to have not necessarily a happy life. We want a fulfilled life. A fulfilled life has this essence of achievement. I set out to be and do something and I was able to do it. Whereas happiness is just, it's a fleeting state, right? You can feel happy for a time, but fulfillment, when you feel fulfilled, that goes with you, whether you're grieving, struggling, suffering, whatever. Fulfillment really it fills you up from the inside out, in a sense. So I don't know if that answers sort of the sort of question, but I do think we have to, step one is be aware of the base self, the culture self, the next level human self, and begin to put your identity as, this is who I'm going to be. And by the way, don't ever let someone treat you a way that is not that. Like, we should be treating each other according to our highest selves. You know, the base level self is going to treat it like, it's like Hammurabi's code, an eye for an eye, right?
Yeah.
The culture level self is, treat others as you want to be treated, right? Or, and then the next level human self is, treat people according to their best selves. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you choose your friends. That's how you choose your partners. That's how you choose your collaborators.
So with taking those first steps, do you find that when individuals have a time trying to find their next level human, you know, identity, or trying to find that part of themselves, because they may not be able to get in touch with it. Mm. What are some of the things that you've seen that people out there that are listening go, okay, I probably suspect that I'm not tapping into my next level human. What are some things that you would say, like, what helped you to like tap into that? Because some people may not be aware, like, is it exercise? Is it the way you eat? Are there certain things that you like to do that people could start easily and say, I need to get in touch with this guy or this girl, you know?
Well, so it goes back to the pain again, right? Yeah. So it goes back to the pain. So what helped me get there is to go, what is my pain? Where did I mess up, right? So I had a shaky relationship with honesty, partly because of how my family. Now, you two might say, Jade, honesty was never my issue, but I guarantee you have a dysfunction somewhere. Maybe it's not honesty. All the listeners,
you know,
right? But mine was honesty, right? So it starts with this idea of, how did I mess up? Now, most of us want to just go, okay, I'm just going to not think about that, right? What I think we need to do instead is to go, look, I am a unique spiritual fingerprint, a purpose potential. It's partly has to do with my pain, the people who've helped and hurt me, my passions, my likes, dislikes, my superpowers, my unique personality, but mainly my pain. And when I take those things together, I go, all right, there's a lesson here, and I could put these puzzle pieces together in a unique way and do something for the world that only I can do in the way that I can do it. And I will choose to begin doing that. So that's step one. And then you go, all right, how does this person exercise? How does this person eat? How does this person? So you're almost like stepping into like a method actor, right? There's, like, if you take a regular actor, right? When the director says action, they go. And when they say cut, they stop. This is the whole idea of fake it till you make it, right? That's like a regular actor, right? You don't fake it till you make it. You be it till you see it. Now, be it till you see it is the method actor. The method actor goes, I got this role, and I'm playing it starting right now. Doesn't matter if they say action or cut, I'm playing this role. And so you start to construct this. I think the mistake we make, though, is we do peripheral changes. I'm going to eat better and change my diet and exercise because I want to look a certain way so that I can do the cultural thing. That's the problem, right? That won't last, because once you get the cultural thing, it no longer has any power. However, if you start constructing this identity around your next level human self, how I'm going to matter and make a difference, that's a whole different thing. And so it's fun in a sense, because you are creating your alter ego. You're creating your superhero identity. What we don't want to do is stay stuck in this identity currently or the past identity. And that's what we're doing if we don't clear the old stories. And those stories are stories about pain and stories about the world that may not be accurate. I'll tell you about a really interesting study, psychological study. So what they did is they took individuals and they basically had Hollywood makeup artists, you know, the really good ones that do really realistic stuff. And they put a scar from the ear all the way to the mouth on these people. And they said, you're going to interact with people with this scar on your face. So they, okay. So it was a fake scar, but it looked real. So then the makeup artists, what they did is they said, here, you can see it. So they were looking at themselves in a hand mirror. So here I am looking in a hand mirror, seeing this scar on my face, seeing this, wow, that looks really realistic. And then they took the hand mirror away. And then here's the trick of the study. They said, we're going to now put some moisturizer on the scar so that it doesn't crack. But what they really did is they removed the scar, right? So now these people are interacting in the world as if they have a scar, but they don't. And the researchers are watching to see, they look at the interactions they're having with people and they rate them according to, you know, how warm and how nice and how friendly everyone is. So the people with the scar on their face who thought they had a scar on their face rank the interactions as colder, more abrasive, rude, right? That they were like, these people were stiff. when the other people who didn't know what was going on, who were just ranking the interaction objectively, ranked them as neutral to warm and friendly. And so what I mean by this is that your pain is like this scar that we wear that shades the world around us and changes the way the world shows up for us. And if we can't clear that pain story, that scar that we think we're wearing, we can't clear that identity, we can never become the new identity.
Oh, man.
That's really profound. And I think that there's probably a lot, if you're starting to put some pieces together here, this is like just getting me to think in a different way, but how many of the stories and the narratives that are on loop in your mind? Because we subconsciously play these constant like reels of here's why I can't ever do this and here's why I can't ever be that. And that's really what paralyzes so many people, because the fear is trapped. It's baked into that story. And that's what keeps us really shackled to not really ever having growth and being stuck. And that's why we see people that, you know, you say hurt people, and you see these patterns of this, of people, and you're like, man, how can they just not see it or not change it? And it's because of this belief system in their mind from what they've experienced before. And it constantly tells them, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving of anything better. And so all of that is projected onto somebody else. And then somebody else is now, and I loved how we talked a little bit about this last night, but these interpersonal relationships, how is that such a key component to growth? Because I think that there are a number of people that are probably like, man, this all makes sense. But I feel like my narrative and my stories are getting looped in with the other people I'm doing life with. And I don't know how to rewrite my own story. How do I, as an individual, when I do life with other people that maybe they don't understand this, or they're not in this process where they're growing through that. How do you help that person? Like what do they do? Cause that's a place where it can be even fearful for people, because they don't feel like they have a way out.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing we do in life. And here's the thing, I love this saying, hurt people hurt people. It's absolutely true. However, hurt people also help people, and that's also true. And what is a hurt person who helps somebody? What do we call that person? We call it a hero. That's what all of our superheroes are. They are hurt people who have decided to help people. And you know, sometimes like it's like this, right? Sometimes when you're surrounded by darkness and suffering, your only choice is to become your own source of light, like a star. That's what a star does, right? It's surrounded by darkness, it has all this pressure around it, and then it bursts forth with this light to inspire the world. Now that takes courage. It takes the courage to be disliked. It takes the courage to step out, to take it on the chin for humanity. And that's the difference. To me, here's the problem. Now, by the way, I don't want to offend anyone here, but there's a difference between a hero and a victim, right? Now, here's the issue. Everyone, every human should be and has to be a victim for a time. We're not good humans if we don't show up for hurt people, right? And we don't want to help them. However, the issue is at some point, somewhere along the way, at some point, there's a choice that they have to stop being a victim. At some point, we have to stop being a victim, and that is a choice. And once we make that choice, now we have the ability to be a hero. And here's what it comes down to, right? Taking it on the chin for humanity. How many times have you seen someone standing in line, getting on an airplane, being a complete ass, right? Someone standing in line, someone driving in traffic, someone, and you just see that's a hurt person hurting people. But what happens when you see somebody in those situations actually helping people? Actually, there's the study of awe, which is this idea of like when you look at a beautiful landscape, you're out in nature and you're just like, my God, like how beautiful. You know what makes us awe-inspired more than anything else, us humans, based on research? Other people's benevolence. What? Other people's altruism, even more than looking at the Grand Canyon. This research has been done. And so what happens is we have to become the star. We have to be the light, and we have to do it even though we've got our ass beat, right? Even though we've suffered, we have to be that thing. And that's the choice. And it is incredibly difficult. However, when you start doing that, and this goes to Courtney's question, when you start doing that, you're teaching everyone else around you. We ultimately are an experience and an example for the world. What experience do you want to bring when you come into a room, and what example do you want to set for the individuals that you are interacting with? Our children, our coworkers, even the people who have hurt us, even the people who have been difficult, who do we want to be? I'll tell you a story. I had a client once who his wife had an affair, was cheating on him. He found out she was not in her best self and had kind of manipulated the kids. So not only did his wife cheat on him, but the kids didn't like, you know, weren't being so nice to the father either. And he said to me, Jade, what am I going to do? Like, this is the worst thing. And I said, let me ask you this. If you were going to die in 3 days from now, you're gone. What would you want to say to your wife and your kids? And immediately, without hesitation, he said, I would want her to know that I forgive her, that I love her. I would want my kids to know that I love them, I support their mom, that I'm here for them. And I was like, then that's the way you show up. Now, why is that so hard for us? Because we think we have time and we want to be stuck in the victim mode when really we could step fully into the hero mode. And in that story, see, I can see Court, same with me. I get this goosebumps all over me because we feel the truth of that statement. And that's what he did. And guess what? We all have that potential.
And I love that you just brought up potential, because my brain was thinking about my life situations. I'm like, we can all choose to go into it. What makes us, of course, the pain of like staying in a victim mode? Is it just, I mean, training in neurology, like why would I want to stay in that mode? What keeps me like back? Because sometimes, man, I was talking to Courtney last night about it. I was like, why is it that I will go, and I know I could get to that point, but something inherently in my body, it's just like, well, you could, but you feel so much more comfort here. You know, you nobody's seeing your pain or nobody's experiencing it because you're hiding it in so well. And you think, well, if nobody else is recognizing it or seeing it, is that like what keeps it there? I mean, what's the driving force?
Yeah, it really comes down to we humans, we will go with what's familiar. Mm-hmm. We will stay with what's familiar despite something could be better for us because we're terrified it may not. We're terrified that it could get worse. So we always go back to the familiar. We have sayings for this, right? The devil that you know is better than the devil that you don't know, kind of thing, right? Except for the fact that, and here's the real issue. And we talked about this last night. Here's what humans don't, no one wants to say this, but this is the truth. You won't know the answer until you take that first step. So it is inherently a problem for us humans because we don't actually know and won't be able to figure it out. So we're going, if I could just figure it out, once I figure it out, I'll move. And I'm just like, that's not going to happen. The only time you're going to figure it out is when you move. I think that's part one. Part two is I think we do not understand mental emotional pain. So there's physical pain and there's mental emotional suffering. So suffering, let's say, is the emotional equivalent of physical pain. Mm-hmm. Now, here's how we deal with physical pain. If the three of us are in the kitchen cutting vegetables, right? And let's say my knife slips and I cut my thumb. What am I going to do? It's very simple. Right? I'm going to grab my thumb. I'm going to squeeze it. I'm going to feel it immediately. And that felt response is going to make me attend to it. Mm-hmm. Then what I'm going to do, so I'm going to feel it. Then I'm going to start dealing with it. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to look how deep is that cut. You know, oh my gosh, it's, you know, Courtney might be like, Jade, you got to get stitches, right? We're going to take care of it. We're going to deal with it. And then after that, there's a healing phase. And that healing phase is putting the antibiotic ointment on it, taking care of it. But more importantly, learning the lesson. And next time I'm cutting vegetables with you two, I'm going to, instead of looking at Courtney and Chris and talking, I'm going to be looking at my hands and paying attention. I'm going to learn the lesson. That's not how we do things with mental emotional suffering. With mental emotional suffering, when we cut our mental emotional thumb, what we do is we go, ow, 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 and we stick our thumb in someone else's face. Ow, 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 right? Or we do this. We just look at it and go, I cut my thumb and it bleeds all over the place. Or we go and we'll stick it behind our back and be like, I didn't cut my thumb. I don't need my hand. I don't need that arm. You know, I'll just walk around for the rest of my life without the use of my right hand. So that's how we deal with mental emotional suffering. But it's the same thing with mental emotional suffering. We have to feel, we have to deal, and we have to heal. So the feeling phase is actually letting those emotions come, crying, feeling the suffering and getting into it, not trying to avoid it. The next part is dealing with it, right? There's going to be certain things that we have to deal with, you know, financial stuff and all the stuff that we have to take care of. And then the healing phase is this, and this is the hero phase. The healing phase is the hero phase. At that point, we have lessons that we now can bring to the world. Now we go out into the world and share those lessons. And the easiest way to do that, by the way, is go, let me find someone who's suffering the same pain as me, and let me seek to help them bandage up that mental, emotional thumb. And that's how we transcend it. That's how we alchemize it. But no one's ever taught us this, right? We know how to do it instinctively with our, when we cut our physical finger, but when we cut our emotional finger, we don't know what to do. And it's the same process. We need to feel it. We need to deal with it. We need to heal it. And the healing phase is to become the hero with it and let the victim go. The victim phase is that feeling phase, right? But if we get stuck there, which a lot of people do, that's when hurt people hurt people. Once you make it through the feel, the deal, the heal, that's when hurt people help people.
Oh, man. I just learned a lot how to...
That was a great analogy.
Yes.
I won't forget that one. Yes. You always have a good visual representation. Yeah, no, I think that's why I learned so much from you, because I visually remember these stories. And I think that speaks to the identity. Like when we talk about really having these attachments to these stories, it's when we don't address these pain points, these different things that we experience, and that's what keeps us stuck to the story. Mm. And so a lot of times, you know, if you do experience a relationship or something that's very destructive, and that's just what you accept, and you learn to adapt to that situation as opposed to, hey, how's this really making me feel? How's this really affecting me as a person and my own growth? When you don't do that and you just start delicately walking around and figuring out, well, how do I just adapt and live and tolerate this situation based on what I know about the other person? Then that's when those stories, you can't shake, it's impossible to grow. Mm-hmm. You will get yourself stuck in the mud. And I love that, like, this is a conversation, because what you experience, this emotional side, and we're talking a lot about emotions right now, but there is a direct connection to that in your physiology. So if you feel like, hey, my body will never change, I feel like I'm constantly holding on to extra weight, I feel like I'm always tired, I am telling you, that is a, go deep under the hood, start looking at some of the emotional stuff. And I want to ask you about that, because you are very, like, you're very much understanding and educated on the physical body. How is this piece connected to, like, how are you seeing people that are experiencing, they're dealing with the physical, thinking, well, I just need to work out harder, I just need to take a different supplement, I need to eat more protein. Those may all be good things. But if you have that and then you don't have this emotional growth, like you are in that childlike phase, and it's like, I'm stuck playing the same story. Do you see people that just stay kind of paralyzed?
100%. And it's actually very simple physiology. We just don't talk about it that much. It's very simple physiology. The physiology works like this. So see if you can follow me here. So if we're stuck in base level and we are looking for safety and security, we are looking for threat. Like, and all animals do this. This is built into our nervous system. So we will be looking at a threat response. Now, if we're in a threat response, right? If we're in fight, flight response, here's the interesting thing about that. Can we regenerate, recover, repair? No, we can't, because we're mobilizing all of our resources to fight and flight. Now, if we're in striving mode, right, which is the culture level mode, striving, living up to people's expectations, I need to strive, I need to make money, I need to look good, I need to, you know, for whatever other people want. When we're in striving mode, can we rest, recover, and regenerate? Of course we cannot, right? So when we're in threat mode, base level, and we're living there, and we're in striving mode, culture level, and living there, our physiology is geared towards using resources, not recuperating resources. Mm-hmm. That's a stress to the physiology, and all of a sudden, now you're degrading your health. And by the way, what is the metabolism's historical, ancestral stress response? What did it encounter more than anything else? Starvation. Food scarcity. So whenever we're under stress, we will default back to a starvation type response. And so not only are we draining resources because we're in threat and strive mode, metabolically speaking, right? We're also in this place where we're like, well, let's take it from the muscle, let's take it from other places, but don't forget, we need to, you know, maintain our body fat. We need to make sure we have that, so we lose that last. This is why when you go on diets and you're in this, it's like you can lose up to 20%, 30%, 40% lean body mass. You know, that's water, that's muscle tissue, that's organ tissue versus fat. Now, when we go into sort of the rest state, the regenerative state, which, by the way, here's the interesting thing. There's a difference between safety and safeness. If we're all out on the plains of Africa, right, and we see a lion, Now we're in threat mode. Okay. Now, if that lion leaves, but we're still on the plains of Africa, right? We're like, we have safety right now. The lion isn't there, but we have to be hypervigilant that it will come back.
Yes.
Safeness is us getting into a house, being in a safe place. There's no chance that the lion will come. What happens is most of us, because of our pain and our suffering and our patterns and our adverse childhood events and adverse adolescent events and adverse early adult events, we never actually feel completely safe. And in order for us to get into rest, regeneration, restoration mode, we have to achieve safeness, not just safety. And so the physiology is, you know, and anyone who's interested in this, is polyvagal theory and some other theories if you're interested in the science. But when we are in threat and striving mode, we can't recover. We can't regenerate. We need to get to safe mode. And if you've had adverse childhood events, pain that you have not cleared, right? Then what happens is you are stuck there. And actually research shows people who have higher adverse events, they tend to either be stuck in very high cortisol output or very low cortisol output. Now we know that cortisol is a hormone that works best in the Goldilocks zone. You do not want it too high. You do not want it too low. You want it just right. Mm-hmm. And if we're threat striving all the time and we're stuck too high or too low, our physiology doesn't behave appropriately. Therefore, you're craving all the time. You're having hunger all the time. You're having fragmented, difficult sleep, and you don't know what's going on with your physiology. And the fact is you may be stuck in threat striving mode. And the final thing I'll say here, what do we do normally when we want to lose weight and get healthy? We go right back into striving mode.
Wow. That is right.
Yeah. It's like a negative feedback loop.
Like, it just,
yeah, it totally is. It's so funny. I was kind of like posting about this a little bit because I'm kind of in a personal season where there's a lot of challenges. And a couple months ago, I realized like, okay, I can't take away a lot of the stresses. Like I can't remove myself from the situations that are demanding a lot of me. But I'm also very hyper aware at how it's affecting me. So it's almost like I was like sitting with this, right? And I'm like, what are you going to do? Because, you know, in an ideal world, I would remove myself from the situation that I feel like is creating a lot of anxiety. It's creating a lot of demand. In every way, I feel like it's taking from me. But I changed the way that I looked at it because I thought, I can't remove myself, right? I can't take myself away from the responsibilities that I have at home. I can't, there's so many different things that they are not variables that I can move the toggles on. But I was able to control the way I looked at it. And I thought, I literally told my body this. And we actually were talking about talking to our organs yesterday.
Yes.
And I started doing this. And I wasn't necessarily speaking directly to my organs, but I was talking to my body. And I have started this like, maybe like mantra type thing. But it's like every day I'm like, I tell myself my body is strong. All of these stressors, they're creating pressure on me, but that pressure is refining. Mm-hmm. That pressure is going to produce something in me that if I didn't have, I would never get to experience on the other side. I would never get through that and grow into the next level of who I am. So I have to start reminding myself, like, you know what? Today might be really hard. Like you may sit in the car and cry for a minute. You may not know what to do in a lot of different situations. However, like you've got to be able to wield that in your favor because your mind, your body is listening to all of those thoughts and those narratives. So the more that I was able to really get behind that and really accept it for what it is, I honestly, guys, let this be an encouragement to you. I have, because I just had a baby a year ago, and in the last like 2 months, the pressure in my life has increased more than I've ever experienced. And yet my body has changed in better ways than I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's like stepping up to the challenge. Like, okay, yeah, we can do this. And honestly, I like surprised myself because I thought, these are all the things that we talk about in like natural health that are going to deteriorate your life. Like it's going to compromise your sleep and stress and cortisol, all these things. And I'm like, yeah, and it is a physiologic response, but the way that your mindset is when you go into that thinking like, I'm training in the gym, I'm mentally training myself. Like I'm physically lifting the weights, but I'm mentally showing up too. And your body will follow the lead. Like you've got to be able, you do have a choice. I mean, at the end of the day, like that's why we're having this conversation. And that's why I feel empowered even in knowing you guys, because like a lot of this, I just need to be reminded of. So if you're listening, like, I hope that this is encouragement to you and just a reminder to you that, you know, you're every single day you're showing up and you have a choice and you can do it. You've got people behind you. Surround yourself with people that will start to fuel those ideas in your life. So
I do. I think that when you talk about see it and be it, that you can take the actions and your physiology literally will work with you. I'm really surprised about how whenever you take a pattern and you say, like, being a next level human, when you say, I can see a pattern, if I want to be like next level human, I may need to take this type of supplement. I may need to take this type of diet plan. And it's like you said, I don't want to go to the gym sometimes, but when you incorporate it, your body's like, hey, I'm on track here. You know, I'm going to put something in my physiology to actually create some production, like minerals. And you go, man, I had the worst season of my life. But you fed your body what it needed at the next level. Now, I think this is like, it's triggering my brain. And I don't even know how to even jump on that, because that's the great point. With everything that we see with Next Level Human, I know we have to make sure that we tell people out there how to get in touch with Next Level Human. What are some of the refining moments, like, as we get close to wrapping up, what are some of the refining moments as you see in the near future or even right now that you see with Next Level? I want to word this really well. The refining moments in your life, how do people see the refining moments? Well, I mean, I know we talked about our pain, but there are big markers in your life that you go, these are things I'm going to learn from and I'm going to make the best out of it.
Yeah. It's actually, and I know we're running up on time, but it's actually really, really simple. And you, Courtney, sort of brought it up. What is the most powerful thing that we know about in medicine? Do the listeners know? Do you guys know? You know what it is? It's the placebo effect. Mm. It's so powerful that we have to account for in every single study we do. Otherwise, we have to throw out those studies. Now, what is the placebo effect? The placebo effect is the belief effect. Ooh. Now, what is the belief effect? The belief effect is the armor that I put on when I go to battle. Right. So that's what Court is talking about. She's going through a tough time. I've been through tough times. We've all had our tough times. Belief that I have this identity, right? This person that I want to be, my future self, not who I am now. And I believe that what I'm going through, I'm going to use those lessons to make sure that that person comes to fruition. And when I put that armor on, that's where to go. And so to me, I go, yes, take the supplements, eat the diet, do the things you want to do. But it's the belief effect. That is what matters most. That's your armor to get to the identity and to be your best self. And it's as simple as that from my perspective.
Oh, man.
So good.
Oh, we got to do another part with this video.
I'm telling you, we can actually talk for a really long time.
We really could. We'll have it, brother. This is going to be great. I mean, we got to wrap up here in just a few, and I hate to even say that, you know, but tell everybody, or you do the outro. You're so much better than I am.
No,
you know, I
mean, you know what? You do a great job, Chris.
I'm saying, how do people get in touch with you, bro? How do people, like, where can they go? Which website, your feed? Share it to us.
Well, if they love this stuff, nextlevelhuman.com is the website to go to. I also have my own website, jadetita.com, and then at jadetita on all the social media. And I adore you both. Thank you to all the listeners. And I just love this show. And yeah, thank you for the work that you do in the world, right? It's what it's all about.
Thank you, brother.
This has been such a treat. I have been looking forward to this conversation. I feel like we got like two parts because we were able to have dinner last night. And you know what? I'll tell you this, and then we'll wrap it up. But you know, sometimes you may need to find somebody else that is journeying through this to speak in and over your life, because sometimes that is the one thing that you need. Because I can tell you, you can listen to this and grasp a lot of it and still kind of maybe feel like I'm not really sure. But when you have the confidence of somebody else, when you can surround yourself, even if it's one person, find that person and just honestly, just be open and vulnerable. Because I'm telling you, you will find so much clarity and strength and peace in that when you're able to share. Because I respect so much about how transparent you are. Yes. And I think that's really, that is why you have grown into the person you are today. Like, that is why you step into your super strength, like what it is that is so unique about you, that's so powerful, it's giving you such an incredible voice of communication, because you haven't neglected all of the pain. In fact, you show up, and that's the first thing you're willing to put on the table. And that's a hard thing to do. There's a lot that I'm sitting on. And just know, if you're listening, we all have it. We all sat around the table and talked about it last night. You are not alone. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate that so much about you. Respect you so much. So grateful to have you as a friend. And we think you're part of the family here.
Part of the fam. Community is healing. Brother, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you both so much. Thanks to the listeners. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Like, subscribe, share this video, the podcast on YouTube. We love you guys. Hope you know how much you mean to us as our community. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Hey, Dr. Axe here. I want to say thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to like and subscribe to the show so you don't miss a thing. Also, if you're in search of more natural health content, you can follow us at Health Institute on Instagram or subscribe to our newsletter using the link in the show notes below. Hey, thanks a lot and have a blessed week.